Bright Sounds, the voice of Bright World.
Hi Lana, how are you doing?
Oh yeah, I'm fine, thank you. It's really busy.
Yes. Why do you think it's getting so busy now? Because I know we have been not quite as busy in the last few months with all the students being at home, but are they all starting to come back now?
Yes, it's now a different type of busy, and it's more of a normal busy that we're used to being busy with. I think since lockdown and all the students departed, we kept ourselves very busy. We were being really proactive, weren't we?
Yeah, definitely.
We had hundreds of meetings with schools, and it was all about how are we going to get students back in September? How is that going to be safe? And we kept so busy, but it was very different busy during those months.
Yeah, and I think it's suddenly come on all of a sudden, hasn't it? Because all of the students are now flying back to the UK, and they are starting earlier because most of them, well, not most of them, lots of them have got to quarantine. So actually, it feels as if we're having our normal arrivals, which would usually happen in September, now.
Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, what we do as an organisation, probably, you know, people don't know how we get all the data and all the information in, but because we have lots of students at Bright World, we do a big email send that asks everyone for their flight details all in one go. And throughout the summer, we'd normally start asking for flight details for the September start in July. It's normal for us. But this year, it seemed crazy to ask people for their flight details in July because no one could book flights.
Yeah, and I think also lots of parents were waiting to see whether the travel corridors would change and the country that they were their child was arriving from would be taken off or put back on the list. So I do think that is why we're suddenly getting so busy now, because parents have suddenly got the confidence to book flights and they've made that decision, but it's only now that they've made that decision. And so I don't think it's ever been as touch and go as this, but it's really good that we've got so busy again, because during lockdown we were busy, as you say, but we were doing a lot more. We were doing podcasts like this, keeping in touch with all of our students. I think that's been a really good thing, hasn't it?
Oh yeah, I mean, this podcast was one of the sort of byproducts of the whole thing, wasn't it? It was your idea. It was a really good idea, I think, and it sort of helped us to sort of keep in touch with people in a different way.
Yeah, I think it's been really useful to have that outlet for us to talk about the different situations that are happening. I mean, quarantine has been a really big discussion point, but also we've had other things to talk about with all of the planning that we've been making for students arriving, with the changing the way that our drivers are cleaning their vehicles and how we're actually greeting students. Also with new initiatives we've been joining, like the Safe Schools Initiative. So the podcast has allowed us to tell everybody about that, and also to chat and talk about how we are navigating our way through these issues. So it has been really good.
Yes, I think it feels like we've been steering a big ship through a very wavy time, you know, right from January, frankly. And the summer, when the children went back home and schools were closed, and then it became very quiet because there were no students here and the term was ending. And, you know, all of the Bright World staff, we used the furlough, apart from five of us who stayed working. So we were bound to be busy, I guess, because we were doing all of the work for the company and doing lots and lots of new and different things and talking to schools about how we were going to transfer students. Were they happy for us to use their, were they happy to use our taxi companies, and then dealing with all the taxi companies and making sure they were signing up to our charter. It's been a very unusual and different journey, and I do feel like we're sort of navigating the high seas of this strange time, and I think that everyone's done really, really well. I'm really though so pleased that now, as you say, we sent that flight request eventually.
Yes, we did. And we did get a lot more replies than we thought. When we first sent it, we didn't know if we'd get any replies. We didn't know how the general sense of how people were feeling about coming back to the UK. But what I've been surprised about is the number of new inquiries and schools and new relationships that we've built during this time, because people have really needed guardianship. And if anything positive has come out of this whole experience for schools and for parents, I do think the need for a proper, you know, EJIS accredited guardian that's going to be there when the school closes and there when the flight is cancelled has never been, you know, more crucial. So for us, I think it's going to be a really different year going forwards, but hopefully we're going to have a lot more of those interactions with schools and work more closely together.
Well, yeah, because it's happening already, frankly. We're already getting calls from schools who have students arriving back for the September start and who've booked the flight or who haven't been able to coincide their flight with the school's quarantine program start, which is very fixed, you know, understandably. They've got to get everyone in, quarantined, in time for their term to start and all the other British students to come in to school. So we're already being called by schools who've got students who've appointed a, you know, a less than reliable guardian who's now unable to help because they don't have anywhere to quarantine them. So again, the need for good guardianship companies that have, you know, resilience about them, and they have lots of contacts and they have lots of ways of finding solutions for things, is really, really important. Otherwise, yeah, you're going to find that safeguarding standards really are compromised, and that's not a good thing.
Yes, and I think that we did, I think with contingency planning, we have tried to think, haven't we, of all the different things that could happen. And one of those really is the dates, as you say, of these quarantine programs. And most schools that we've spoken to, we know, are doing quarantine, which isn't something they've done before. But as you say, last minute changes are happening and flights are being cancelled or moved. So as guardians, we are stepping in and having to provide quarantine when we hadn't even planned to do it. So in a way, we've had to be even more resilient than ever before. And providing quarantine is something that we never thought we would do. But our quarantine and settling in program in Cambridge, I know you've been really involved with that. That has gotten off to a good start, hasn't it? Which is positive.
Oh, I mean, actually, I think the students in Cambridge are actually enjoying their quarantine programme. I've received photographs of them playing socially distant garden games, and the Wi-Fi signal's super strong, so they're able to sort of get online, speak with friends. There's so much space there, and there's so few students there. Their rooms are enormous. They're in massive rooms that would normally have four or five in them. They're on their own with their ensuite bathrooms. And the feedback I've had is that they're actually rather enjoying it. The weather's been great. And they've been enjoying the Bright World snacks, or Bright Snacks, the snack bar that I've thrown in for them. Because I realised suddenly, oh, they're in this place, they're not allowed to leave, they can't pop to the shop and get a snack. It must be awful for them. So we've got a free snack bar that they're using. I did ask for healthy snacks to be provided as well as unhealthy snacks. Apparently it's
I do think unhealthy snacks are allowed in quarantine, though. I do think that we could allow for a few unhealthy snacks, but obviously bright snacks should be mostly healthy.
Well, I wanted to sort of think that the bright snacks would be healthy, but I'm afraid I failed, and the healthy snacks that are on offer haven't gone down very well, and it's only really the unhealthy snacks that are going first. But I guess when they get down to just the healthy snacks, they'll think, oh well, I will try those nuts, or I will try that granola bar and see what it's like. So I'm hoping to sort of transform them and make them realize that healthy food is really tasty. But I think the Pringles are the most popular, if I'm honest.
But no, I think, and obviously Michael Voice, the principal at Cambridge Malkier College, does deserve lots of credit. We're so lucky because we've held our half term and Easter program there for many years, so we had that head start, you know, in a way, didn't we? So when the idea of quarantine came about, there wasn't really any competition for where to hold the quarantine and settling in program. I think that Cambridge Malkier College is the ideal solution, really.
Oh, it's been brilliant. He's been so flexible. We didn't know if it was even needed when we started talking about it. He then took one student there on its own for a few days before the rest arrived. He's been so kind as well and thoughtful in everything that he's been planning to try to make it nice for them. And he succeeded, because I haven't had any negative feedback at all, just very positive. People are enjoying it, as I say. And it's actually a very positive, soft landing for them back to the UK before they go to school.
Yes, and I don't know what we'd do without him, because every day, I mean, even as we're just speaking, Lana, Croatia and Austria have been placed on the quarantine list, and Portugal's been taken off. So for us, having Michael there, with, you know, the fact that he's going to remain open in September and October, even when schools have closed their program, I really don't know what we would do without him. So we've been lucky in that respect.
We have, and we're also, I think, really lucky that the British boarding school and the British education sector is obviously a very resilient industry and a very resilient sector, because people are wanting to come back. And they are booking their flights and they're coming back to boarding school. And the great news is that our staff are back. So our guardianship team and our accommodation team are now back working. And it's just so fantastic, because although I've loved just working with the senior management team skeleton staff we had, you know, we all really wanted everything to get back to normal. And it's just happened so quickly and suddenly that we're all busy again now.
Yeah, and I think that's really important, as you say, with the students and parents that have got those relationships with each of the individual guardianship care managers, and with their children coming back, it's obviously reassuring for them to know that the guardianship team are back, and we are all hitting the ground running.
Yes, because with every will in the world, I am not an administration specialist. I've been trying my hardest to do their jobs for them, but I miss things and I'm not detailed enough. So I'm so pleased they're all back checking minute details of arrivals and making sure that everything runs smoothly. And they really are such a valuable set of experts at that, and I'm in awe of them, because I don't see what they see. I don't see that a flight is arriving a day earlier than the school's opening. I don't see it immediately. They immediately zone in on things like that and then deal with it. So it's so fantastic that they're back. We're so pleased.
Yeah, I think they're really pleased as well, though, aren't they? Because they, you know, we didn't know for a while when or if the students were coming back this year. So they're all really excited and happy to be back. And before we talk about the plans going forward for this term, Lana, I just wanted to touch on the 500 words competition, because I think looking back at how the students have coped being in lockdown in their own countries, all over the world, that having that competition and hearing the winning entries, and with the topic being about coronavirus and positivity and humour that's come out of this situation, they did do really well, didn't they? And I think it was such a good read to have that during the time.
Oh yeah, I mean, they were really, really good 500 word entries.
Yeah, I think we managed to get quite a good mix, didn't we, of positivity, but also the winning entry, Jaden's entry, was really funny. And I liked the way that he made light of the obsession with buying toilet paper that we all had at the beginning of lockdown. And I think that really did resonate with people all over the world, because I do think that was quite heavily featured in the media in other countries, how we thought we could fight the pandemic with buying toilet paper. So
response was to go out and buy some more toilet rolls.
Yeah, and the fact that they, you know, a young student in Hong Kong had managed to find that funny, I think it was really important. But also I enjoyed the other runners-up entries as well, and found them quite heartwarming. Did you?
I think I started crying in one of them when I was listening to that one. And Jenny and James read out two of them, which I think they did really well.
I think one of the girls, her father was a doctor, and she'd had to deal with being away from him, but had learnt to see, you know, the positivity in the fact that he was helping people in fighting coronavirus. And I think that was, you know, for her to be going through all of that and also able to make something positive out of it while she was in lockdown was really nice.
Yeah, I think it was a brilliant initiative and excellently done. And they all got their prizes, their Amazon vouchers. So I hope they've managed to spend those on something nice. And they'll hopefully be back soon with us.
And not having to do things virtually. But that was the last thing I was going to talk to you about, Lana, because how are things going to be different for this first term? Because obviously all of the students are coming back to school, but as guardians, we would normally be visiting in person, wouldn't we?
Yeah, I mean, like on last week's podcast, when I was talking to Jalpa, we made a decision. I had to make a decision one way or the other, I felt. Having spoken to so many schools over the summer and then asking them, you know, do you want us to come and visit the students in September? And then them saying, oh, I don't know. I don't know what our visitor policy is going to be. We probably don't want too many people coming onto the campus from outside. So I felt that it was better to just make a decision. We'd already practiced Zoom calls with the students when they'd gone back to home. We've been keeping in touch with them on Zoom and it had worked very well. So we're going to continue that, and all the LCs, I mean, they're already doing them, Charlotte. We've got so many students already here that they're contacting them by Zoom in quarantine. Or some of them, you know, the Scottish schools go back earlier. They're already back at school. And so the arrival care plan reports are coming in and being sent to parents already. It's going fine. Absolutely.
Well, I think that's the thing, because obviously we do still have certain restrictions in place, don't we? So we wouldn't want to be visiting our students and putting them at any kind of risk. So having that online support and being able, you know, students particularly in quarantine at the moment, having that outlet and a way to communicate with their buddy on Zoom is going to be really, really good for them, I think.
Yeah, and the app's going to be in the app store in the next few days. So our students will have access to the Brightworld app, and that is holding all of the information that the local coordinator normally hands to them when they arrive. You know, they normally give them a welcome pack. So that's all sorted, and they'll have that on their phone, which I think's a lot better than on in paper. So we've got all that. And then obviously already we're sorting out host family accommodation for expat weekends and half terms should they be needed. And more importantly as well, planning for Christmas, dare I say, where it's likely that a lot of the students will decide to stay in the UK for Christmas, so will be needed then as well. So that's quite a different term. I think it's, you know,
definitely a different term, isn't it? But I never thought we'd be looking ahead as far as Christmas and expecting the students may not be going home. But I think that has been the decision that the parents have had to make. You know, the commitment to send them back here is a really big commitment. And they could have to stay past Christmas. Let's hope that they can go home.
Yes, some of the older ones who have a lot of study to do and who don't necessarily celebrate Christmas actually quite often quite like to stay here at Christmas.
Yeah.
So for them it won't be any different. But for the younger ones, I do think they want to get back and see mum and dad for a break. It's a very long time to be away from family. But if it isn't possible and they do have to stay, then we're ready, you know, and we're going to keep them as happy and safe as we possibly can and make their Christmases enjoyable as a long holiday for them.
Yes, and obviously, although we are doing things virtually and things are changing this term, we will still possibly be asked to go to school. And so buddies will be on standby if there are important visits. If we are asked to go to school, then we will be able to go. And we're hoping, aren't we, that by January and next year, we will be able to, and it will be safer for us to go, for our buddies to go and visit and meet their students in person.
Yeah, I really hope that January, we are all back to normal and, oh, remember that funny year that we had last year. Yeah.
Somehow I'm not sure it's going to be, but I think all the adaptations we've made and the app is probably going to be something that we're going to use going forwards. Do you think that?
Definitely, because the student handbook was the last thing that we really printed in our campaign and drive to reduce our carbon footprint. So I'm very pleased that it forced us into creating the app. You know, it's been a bit of an investment and it's taken a lot of time, but now we've got it, it's always up to date because you can change it and update it. I think it's great. And yes, we'll definitely keep the app.
Yeah, and I'm really glad, obviously now everyone's back, as you say, but I'm really glad that we use that time to make lots of plans, because there is a likelihood, and we hope it doesn't happen, but I can really say confidently that we are prepared for another lockdown. And we're hoping that if there were lockdowns in the future, they would be local lockdowns. But I think it's so important that we have that time, isn't it, to plan and make all of our contingency plans for school closures going forwards. And so hopefully that doesn't happen. But if it does, we are going to be really set up.
We are. And we've got all the renewed sort of relationships and contacts with schools that we've made over the lockdown months, so that they know that we're here, they know who we are, they can just pick up the phone or send us an email, and we can work with them, sort of helping everything to work out. You know, it's great that guardianship companies can really help in situations like this. We can really make a big difference and have facilitated, you know, hundreds and hundreds of students being able to come back to study in September.
Yeah, and I think that's been, as you say, you know, Aegis, you know, the Department for Education, people in the industry knowing about Aegis Guardians and all of the work that not only Brightworld but all of the guardianship companies do. It has definitely been something that's good that's come out of it, and we have really shouldered and taken on a lot of responsibility during the time the schools were closed and helped students and helped schools. So hopefully that's going to continue, I think, going forwards.
Yes, so there's lots happening at the moment. We're really busy. So we're going to take a break, aren't we, for a while on the podcast.
Yeah, so I think this is going to be our last one for a while, isn't it? Going to have a little bit of a break.
I think they call it a hiatus.
Yeah, or a hiatus.
Yeah.
So I think it's, yeah, I think we will come back, won't we? But we're going to come back stronger, but we're going to make sure that we have a little bit of a time off to look after the students and make sure they all get back to school safely. That's our priority.
Yeah, our priority now is to just get down to it, get everyone back and safe and sound through quarantine, back to school. Then it'll be the first exeat before we know it. So it'll probably be a month before we're back, but we'll be back, as you say, we'll have interesting subject matters that we can talk about how it all went. We can, invite the staff that were off back to talk to us about it all. And it'll come back really with new vigour, I think.
Yes, definitely. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Lana. And that's it for a little while, but we'll see you on the other side.
Yes, see you later. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Bright Sounds, a podcast from Brightwell Guardianships. If you're interested in finding out more about anything we've discussed today, please visit our website, www.brightwellguardianships.com. Or follow us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more. Bright Sounds is available as a podcast on major podcast platforms or by subscribing directly to us on Podbean. Please look forward to more fascinating interviews and discussions with our Bright World team and expert guests. Take care, and we'll hear from you at our next Bright Sounds podcast.